I love comparing entities which are in relevant respects unlike or of simple semantical semantical confusion. What men who are prepared to barter liberty of individual action for the status of their group and their own status within the group want is not to surrender liberty for security or for some assured place in a harmonious hierarchy, comma, as they conceive it, comma, in which every man and every class knows its place and is prepared to surrender the painful necessity of choosing, quote, the burden of freedom, unquote, for the peace and comfort and mindlessness of an authoritarian or totalitarian structure, full stop. No doubt there are such, and no doubt such surrenders of liberty can occur and have occurred, semicolon. But it is a profound misunderstanding of the temper of our times to assume that this is what makes nationalism or Marxism attractive to the nations which have been ruled by foreign masters or classes whose lives were directed by other classes in some feudal or otherwise hierarchical regime. What they desire is what Mill called, quote, pagan self-assertion, unquote. Indeed, much of what he says with excellent insight about what it is that makes men desire liberty, death, the craving for non-conformity, for the assertion of their own values in the face of the prevailing opinion, for bold self-reliant personalities, for liberation from the leading strings of the official lawgivers and governesses of society. No, not governesses, would you say official lawgivers and instructors of society, comma, has little enough to do with his conception of freedom as mere non-interference, but a great deal with the desire of men not to have their personalities set at too low a value, assumed to be incapable of autonomous, original, quote, authentic, unquote, to use a fashionable modern existentialist term, unquote, behavior, even if such behavior is to be met with social restrictions or inhibitive legislation, full stop. This kind of liberty is the answer to the question, not what is to be the area of authority, but who is to govern me, question mark. Govern well or badly, liberally or oppressively, but the question being, who find such answers as, my representatives elected by my untrammeled choice, semicolon, or all of us gathered together in regular assemblies, in quotes, or the best, or the wisest, or the nation, as embodied in this or that person or institution, comma, or the divine leader, or whatever it may be, are answers logically, dash, and often politically and socially independent of what kind of, sorry, not what kind, what extent of quote negative unquote liberty I demand for my own personal activities, full stop. Provided the answer to, quote, who shall govern me, question mark, unquote, is somebody or something which I can represent as, quote, my own, unquote, as something which belongs to me or to which I belong, I can, in the other sense of the word freedom, claim this to be some kind of free life. Quote, in thy service is perfect freedom, unquote, can be secularized. And the state, or the nation, or the race, or an assembly, or a dictator, or the family, or I myself, substituted for the deity, without thereby rendering the word freedom meaningless, full stop. It is the non-recognition of this fact which perhaps blinds some contemporary liberals to the world in which they live, full stop. New paragraph. The French Revolution was just such an eruption of the desire for self-government, even if it restricted individual liberty. Rousseau had spoken of the fact that the laws of liberty might prove to be more austere than the yoke of tyranny. For his liberty does not, in the first place, refer to the freedom of the individual to do as he pleases within a delimited area, but to what Constant had called the liberty of the ancients, where liberty means the sharing of public power by everyone in a society, but where this public power can interfere with every aspect of every citizen's life. The liberals of the first half of the 19th century must be given the credit for foreseeing that liberty in this sense could easily destroy all liberty in the sense which they claimed. No, not in which they claimed, the sense in which they desired it. The space within which a man might live his life as he pleased, without control, interference, social pressure, will stop. They pointed out, quite correctly, that the sovereignty of the people can destroy that of individuals. Mill had explained patiently and unanswerably that those who govern are not necessarily the same, quote, people, unquote, as those who are governed. Yes, that self-government is not the government, quote, of each by himself, unquote, but of each by all the rest, unquote. To him, coercion was an evil in itself, Brackett, unlike the seekers after, quote, positive, unquote, liberty, who would admit coercion within the community if it improved its status vis-a-vis other communities, or if it was an inevitable means to the rational state, as communists and other believers in, quote, democratic centralism, C-E-N-T-R-A-L-I-S-M, unquote, maintain. And Beckett, he spoke of the tyranny of the majority, in quotes, end quote, the tyranny of the prevailing feeling and opinion, and saw no difference between that and any other kind of tyranny, which interferes with men's lives beyond the unalterable limits of private life. Consto, C-O-N-S-T-A-N-T, rightly pointed out that mere shifting of unlimited authority, Brackett, sovereignty, end of Brackett, from one set of hands to another does not increase liberty, but merely shifts the burden, merely alters the burden of slavery. What care I whether I am crushed by popular government or a monarch, question mark, or even a set of laws, question mark. He quite correctly perceived that the problem for those who desire individual freedom is not who wields the authority. Yes, for anyone who wields it may become oppressive. Yes, but how much authority is to be placed in any set of hands? For unlimited authority in anybody's grasp will surely crush, not so surely, just will crush somebody. Usually men protest against this or that set of governors as unjust. But it is not that that is the cause of oppression. It is the mere mass of power centralized anywhere, colon. It is the very notion of absolute sovereignty itself, full stop, quote. It is not the arm that is unjust, unquote, Constant observes, quote, but the weapon that is too heavy. Yes, some masses are too heavy for the human hand, unquote. Democracy may disarm a given class, a given oligarchic class, a given privileged individual or set of individuals, but it can still crush individuals as much as any previous ruler, full stop. Equality of oppression is not equivalent to liberty, full stop. Nor does universal consent to interference cease to make it interference. If I consent to be oppressed, am I the less oppressed, question mark? If I sell myself into slavery, am I the less a slave? If I commit suicide, am I the less dead because I have taken my life freely myself, question mark? Next record. government is a spasmodic tyranny, comma, monarchy, a better centralized despotism. Full stop. End of quotes. The worst of a species. That by giving myself to all, I give myself to no one. Is founded in the assumption that the sovereign is literally everybody. Full stop. Firstly, even so, this everybody may oppress one of its numbers. Semicolon. I may prefer to be deprived of my liberties by an assembly in which I am a perpetual minority. Semicolon. It may give me an opportunity one day of persuading others to do for me that to which I feel I'm entitled. Semicolon. But to lose my liberty, no, sorry, to be deprived of my liberty at the hands of everyone save myself deprives me of it just as effectively. Full stop. But, of course, in practice, it is not, quote, everybody, unquote, who rules, but its agent, i.e. a power which can rob you of all you have left. Rousseau knew this, hence the protests against delegation and representation. What he wanted was a continuous plebiscite. Hobbes was at any rate more honest. He does not pretend that his sovereign does not enslave. He justifies this slavery, but does not call it freedom. Throughout the 19th century, liberal thinkers correctly maintained the doctrine that if by liberty was meant a limit upon the powers of anyone else to force me to do what I did not wish to do, whether in the name of reason or state, my own good, or the good of unborn generations, whether in the name of God or man, history or class, or the rights of a man of genius to mold inferior beings to his pattern, bracket for thus they too shall share in his free creative activity and be raised to a higher level, into bracket. Absolute sovereignty must be declared to be a tyrannical doctrine in itself. If I wish to preserve my liberty, it is certainly not enough to say that it must not be violated unless someone or other, dash, the sovereign, or the popular assembly, or the king in parliament, or the judges, or all these persons together, or even the laws, dash, for they may themselves be oppressive, dash, authorize this. Full stop. I must establish a society in which there must be some interferences which nobody should ever be able to authorize. Full stop. I may call such frontiers natural rights. Semicolon. I may found them upon what philosophy I please. I may call them the word of God, or the demands of the, quote, deepest interests of man, unquote. I may believe in their validity a priori, or simply declare them to be subjective ends. Sufficiently widely believed and grounded in empirical human nature as it has developed through history to be part of the definition of what a human being is, so that those who do not recognize it are rightly regarded by me as having so different a view of what men are as to be justly called abnormal, morally deficient, deranged, semicolon. But however I view it, unless some such stand is taken, individual liberty will not remain inviolable. Self-government will not be sufficient, full stop. In theory, no doubt, in a democracy, the majority of its citizens govern themselves. But historically, no government has found much difficulty in forcing its subjects to generate the will that the government wants. Quote, the triumph of despotism is to force the slaves to declare themselves free, unquote. How is this to be prevented? Question mark. Many devices have been suggested. But the principal safeguard of a democracy resides in retaining political rights with which to protect individual rights. In the exercise of these rights and in the preservation of an enlightened public opinion. If it is believed widely enough and repeated often enough that no powers can be absolute, dash, only a right can be that, dash, in the sense that I have an absolute right to refuse to behave inhumanly, dash, that natural, in quotes, frontiers exist, in the sense that there are some principles widely accepted, so widely accepted that they have entered into definition, the definition of what it is to be a human being, semicolon. Rights and corresponding laws of which it would be absurd to say that they could be abrogated by some formal procedure of some absolute sovereign. If this is sufficiently often repeated, it is difficult for the worst governments to proceed publicly against it. That is the status, for instance, of the punishment of men not proved guilty even by some semblance of a trial, or indiscriminate destruction of lives and liberties by the arbitrary will of a despot, full stop. This causes horror to this day, semicolon. But even in this hardened day, semicolon, and this horror of despotism is precisely this implicit recognition of the existence of barriers to interference. If public opinion does not operate, the tyrants find it only too easy to declare themselves, to pay homage to the power of the people, and speak for it even while muzzling it, and crush it in its own name. What liberals demand, therefore, is the limitation of sovereignty as such. What believers in positive liberty, in quotes, demand is the placing of it in their own and not in others' hands. These views are ultimately not reconcilable, but it is a profound lack of social and moral understanding, not to recognize the absolute claims of each, no, for each of these types of liberty as being among, quote, the deepest interests of mankind, unquote. New paragraph. In the end, what is responsible for despotism and the crushing of individuals in the names of ideals, distant ends such as ultimate felicity, or their own, quote, real, unquote, selves, of which they may not be aware, or the claims of such embodiments of themselves as the destiny to which they are called, their historical mission, or the, quote, self-transcendence, unquote, in a, quote, higher level, national or racial, no, not national, nation, race, class, tradition, church, all the great altars upon which human sacrifices have been brought, yes. So after class, would you put humanity, progress, liberty itself, after that, all the altars and so on, is the belief that somewhere, in the past or the future, in divine revelation, or the mind of the individual thinker, in the pronouncements of history or science, or the simple heart of an uncorrupt good man, there is a final solution. Full stop. It is an ancient belief founded upon the assumption that all positive values in which men have believed must in principle be compatible, and perhaps even entail one another. Truth, quote, truth, comma, virtue, comma, freedom, comma, justice, comma, are connected with each other as by an indissoluble chain, unquote, said Condorcet, perhaps the most enlightened representative of this view, full stop. Why should this be true? Question mark. No, not why should they, but is this true? Question mark. Do you know that equality is not compatible with liberty, with individual liberty, with unrestricted laissez-faire, LAIWSESZFARE, as things are, semicolon. That always to tell the truth will not necessarily conduce to universal happiness, semicolon. That rigorous justice is not compatible with generosity or unrestricted liberty, full stop. But somewhere, comma, we shall be told, somehow, a state of affairs must exist in which these virtues can coexist. Otherwise, the universe is not a cosmos, not a harmony. The conflict of values, dash, tragedy, dash, is an intrinsic part of it. Next record. no situation is imaginable. Come on, let alone. Conceivable even in principle, let alone realizable in practice, in which men are wholly wise, good, just, free, happy. Full stop. The very notion of a rational ideal, the total harmony of all values and all interests, seem to involve incompatibilities, full stop. This is a mortal blow to the very nature of a reasonable universe, full stop. There are two things to be said about this. The first is that unless we are armed with some a priori guarantee, as the philosophers of antiquity thought that they were, that a total harmony is possible, and the tragedy is mere error, misunderstanding of ends or the choosing of the wrong means toward them, which omniscience could eliminate, we are left with the ordinary resources of empirical observation and earthly wisdom. No, not earthly wisdom, and ordinary human knowledge. And this certainly gives us no warrant for supposing that all good things, bracket, or all bad things for that matter, end of bracket, are compatible. They exhibit the world as a field in which agonizing choices must occasionally be made between ends, one of which must perforce be sacrificed, full stop. Indeed, it is because this is the situation that men place such immense and justified value upon liberty to choose, in whichever senses of the word liberty. There is certainly no a priori reason for supposing that painful choices are avoidable, or that goals will not forever be many and conflicting, full stop. Secondly, whether it is true or false, yes, and I have no doubt of which it is, yes. Not of which it is, and I have no doubt of the answer, yes. It is the monistic, M-O-N-I-S-T-I-C, view of life, whereby all problems are regarded as, at any rate in principle, being capable of reduction to some one central issue, which can be settled one way or the other by some one final infallible method that is responsible for the deep, serene, assured conviction in the minds of some of the world's most savage and effective despots and persecutors. But what they did was fully justified by its purpose. Full stop. I do not say that the positive ideal of human freedom, which consciously animated some of these men and the movements which they have led, is false, or founded, or the result, deliberate deliberately fraudulent use of language or confusion. Still less. Of confusion of thought. Still less. Of the deliberate or accidental misuse of words. Full stop. Indeed, I have tried to show that this positive notion of freedom is at the heart of those movements, of those demands for recognition. Animate the great social and political movements of our time, and that not to recognize this, no, sorry, not to recognize, and that not to understand this, is to blind oneself, both to facts and to the meanings of words and ideas. No, sorry, would you say, and to blind oneself to the most vital facts and ideas of our age, full stop. But equally it seems to me that the recognition that whatever might be the case in an ideal universe, to believe and act as if some single method of reconciling the different ends of different human beings or groups of men, yes, or indeed of the ends of the same human beings in differing circumstances and at various times, is to believe something that is conspicuously false, and to be led by this fallacy into action that is often gratuitously brutal and iniquitous. Full stop. If, as I believe, ends of men are many and not all of them compatible with which each other, the possibility of conflict can never be eliminated from human life, either personal or public, full stop. The power of choosing between incompatible, equally absolute alternatives is one of the characteristics that make human beings human, full stop. To the value of the act of choosing lies in itself, not as a means to something else. My liberty to choose as I desire will be, no, sorry, begin again, the extent of my liberty to choose as I desire must be weighed against the claims of other values, dash, equality or justice or happiness or whatever other end men or societies may have set their hearts upon, full stop. Moreover, it will be curtailed by the claims of other persons to an equal measure of liberty, which must be respected, not because of some logical principle whereby liberty for one man necessarily entails belief in the liberty for others, but as a claim for justice or equality, of similar claims, comma, a moral end in itself, full stop. The need to calculate and weigh and compromise and adjust and test and experiment and make mistakes and never reach certain answers or guarantees for rational action must irritate those who seek for clear and final solutions and yearn for unity and symmetry and all-embracing answers. Nevertheless, it seems to me the inescapable task of those who would come to believe that out of the crooked timber of humanity no straight thing was ever made, the liberty that they seek to realize in the world as they conceive it, seems to me, in comparison with that of the absolutists, more rational, more realizable, more nearly realizable, more humane, and fitter for human beings to inhabit. No, there was wrong, not fitter for human beings to inhabit and alone. No, sorry, would you go back to more nearly realizable? Because more human. No, sorry, more nearly, so let's begin again. Thank you.